The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Ed Funston of KILR in Esterville and Dale Wagner with the Sac Sun. Ed, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
All right, Senator Grassley, the Senate passed the $2 million coronavirus stimulus compromise package late last night. Can you explain what's in it that will benefit Iowans?
Yeah. First of all, it's an 1,100-page bill, and I wouldn't pretend to, even in 2 hours, to explain everything that's in it. But the part that I played in it as chairman of the Finance Committee would have several things, and beyond that, I'll let you ask me questions. But number one, now the Secretary of Treasury is saying that in 2 or 3 weeks, people should be getting these checks. I can only tell you what the checks provide for people that have filed income tax and the IRS has some record of it. Almost everybody's going to get a $1,200 check, a couple $2,400 check, $500 for each additional child. That will also go to senior citizens as well. It'll go to people that are employed and people that are unemployed. And it's a major bridge for people to get over this hump that there is an economic situation caused by a public health situation that nobody had any control over, but government shut down businesses. The economy kind of shut down on its own. And this is to help people bridge them over. Another way to help bridge them over this period of time is a beef up in each state's unemployment compensation for a period of 4 months. And if somebody says, well, what about the next 2 years or something? Well, we're doing everything in 3 or 4 month period of time, with the idea that if we can get this economy turned around, then maybe there won't be any other help needed. If this thing isn't good enough by then, we are going to be back at it again, I presume. We'll have to be back at it again. You can't have the American economy shut down. We could have social unrest. Then one other thing, and I'll stop with this before I go to Dale. One of the big things that would be in the towns of Sac City and Esterville, these restaurants have closed down. They've laid off their employees. There is a SBA loan that just as soon as the president signs this bill, I think the bankers are already on top of this. I don't know how much small business knows about it, but there's going to be loans to small business that will be forgiven if they keep their people employed, or the extent to which they keep some of their people employed. And so we hope that this is going to help the 12 million people that are unemployed in the business of restaurants and bars, things like that, but small business generally. So I'll stop there because there's a lot more I could tell you, but we want to get people back to work as fast as we can. Dale.
Yes, Senator. Where does the money for this package come from? Will the American taxpayer be paying it back sometime in the future? Or?
No. Well, on a forgivable loan, they won't be paid back. On the beefing up of the unemployment checks for 4 months, that won't be paid back, and the checks that people are going to get that I told you about in 2 or 3 weeks, according to the Secretary of Treasury, there's only two places money comes from that we expand. One of it is taxes, and obviously with the economy turned down with 2 and 3 and 2/10 million people in the unemployment lines this week that weren't there last week, we're going to get less tax revenue. But whether it's a lot of tax revenue or lesser tax revenue, We spend that and then we borrow money. So that's the answer to your question there. Does that cover your question, Dale, or did I leave something else?
I believe that got it, Senator. Thank
okay.
you.
Ed Funston. Well, here's another. I should, Ed, wait a minute. Dale, the whole idea is that if we get the economy going, then you get revenue coming into the federal treasury. We had historically high revenue coming into the federal treasury just before this shutdown. Let's go to Ed.
Senator, the bill did contain a number of items that really have nothing to do with the coronavirus. Can you explain how that happened, and are you disappointed in that?
You mean the virus, how it happened?
Well, then I've heard there are items in the bill that really don't pertain to coronavirus funding.
Yeah. I would say this, that there may be some justification for some of it, and I don't know how long the list is. I can name four or five things right now off the top of my head. I didn't copy down everything that falls in that category. Some of it may be justified, and I'm not going to say which one might be justified, but I know this, that there were people in the Democratic Party that like to spend money, and they took advantage of this very critically situation where people are hurting, and we had to act something, and this bill was held up for 72 hours. This should have been done Monday. It was held up 72 hours to wring some of this stuff out that they wouldn't otherwise get. And I'm just going to make that general statement. And some of it, maybe you could tell me it was justified, but some of it was agreed to just to have to get this thing passed. Now, it's inexplainable to me how somebody could be that selfish, but that's what happened. Dale.
Yes, Senator, we're in the middle of an election year. What do you see as the impact of all of this on the current state of politics?
It's too early to make that judgment. I believe right now, people aren't really thinking about elections. You don't see Biden campaigning. You don't see the president campaigning. Both Republican and Democrats are not, at least the Senate candidates aren't raising money. But I can tell you, I'm just disgusted with what I'm seeing the Democratic Party of Iowa doing, trying to raise money off of this crisis, because I saw that Hubble had put out some email requests for money because they want to take over the Iowa House of Representatives. It's absurd that any devoted Iowan, because we care about each other, Iowa, would try to benefit from this catastrophe that we're having. And that's what happened. So I guess what you, my answer to you, except those abhorrent things I just referred to, I just see people pulling together. And I see people like Ernst and Trump showing strong leadership in a period of time like this. And I see Trump acting very presidential and just forgetting about politics. I mean, there's very little campaigning in Iowa except Democrats trying to take over the Iowa House of Representatives. And it's not only that, but all of my colleagues are saying, the ones that are up for election, we can't raise money. We shouldn't be raising money. Okay, I think that was Dale. Or was that Ed?
No, that was Dale.
Okay, Ed.
Okay. Overall, are you happy with the way the Trump administration has responded to the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yes. The only, I would give some advice, and I'm not sure that he needs this advice, but as he looks at getting people back to work, I think that he's right that we got to start thinking getting back to work, but also think as he makes comments on this that he's going to assure the American people that he's going to take the advice of people that are experts in health and in these tremendous pandemics we're having, and make sure that when he urges people to go back to work, it follows that it's not going to make the pandemic harm the pandemic situation we're in. But I think you don't wait until the pandemic's over to start thinking about getting people back to work, because I heard Governor Cuomo, and maybe it was a well thought out statement or maybe it wasn't, but he was saying we got to look at people that have had this and they have the antibodies, they aren't going to get it again. Let's have those people go back to work, and let's make sure that we don't have our senior citizens getting out. But the extent to which, bit by bit, you get people back to work and get them back to work in a way where they aren't spreading the disease, the virus. I heard Governor Cuomo say that about three or four news conferences ago, and I never heard anybody in the fake news condemning him for it. So I don't understand why people are condemning the president when we got to think how we get people back to work. In fact, he's going to have a big meeting of his task forces, and he's going to listen to everybody on Monday, is what he announced yesterday, and that's what he ought to be doing. That was back to Ed.
And that was my question.
Oh, back to Dale. I'm sorry.
Okay. Let's see. There was a little news this week about trade agreements with the Mexico and Canada agreement. Is coronavirus having any impact on what we're trying to get done there?
Yeah, I think so. And it only deals, it might deal with, first of all, don't forget, the USMCA is law and policy everything. But there's certain deadlines that have to be met. And there's one deadline for something to do with automobiles and content of cars, how much of it's imported versus how much of it's domestic and all that. And our government is trying to push those rules going into effect on June the 1st. And we think not only because of this pandemic, but a little bit before the pandemic, that was probably going to be a little difficult to do. Lighthizer of our special trade representative is pretty adamant that the June 1st day is held strong, but we're urging him to consider some relaxation of that. And maybe a month, 2 months, 3 months. We aren't talking about a long period of time, but it's going to take time to get this stuff into place. And particularly now that supply chains are being thwarted by this epidemic. Okay, I should say whoever's next turn it is, that'll be the last question. I'm going to take two more then, because she said Ed's next, and I want to keep this equal between you. Go ahead, Ed.
Apparently, you made a statement on the floor of the Senate today about China's mishandling of the coronavirus. Can you talk some more about that?
Yeah. And that was part of my speech late last night. And what it is I'm trying to hit two things here. Bring attention to the Communist Party of China not being very transparent on all the things the world ought to know about their handling of the virus. Also, it implies that maybe they don't want to take responsibility for it. And also, the condemnation that some of us have had when we talk about the virus originating in China. If you use the words Chinese virus, somehow you're discriminating. Or you say connect China with the virus at all, and the political correctness of it, that's supposedly, and also a change in attitude in the 3 or 4 months that we found out that this started in China. We used to, in December and January, there was no condemnation for talking about Chinese virus, talking about virus coming from China. And so I was just trying to give my opinion that we've got two things. We ought to look at this realistically, that it did start in China, and we ought to be condemning the Communist Party of China because they aren't, they're trying to avoid responsibility, how they handled it. I don't expect them to avoid responsibility for the virus, because they wouldn't have that happen if they could have controlled it, but how they responded to it from a public relations standpoint is disgusting. Dale Wagner?
Yes, sir. It's National Agriculture Week. What are your thoughts about the efforts of the Iowa farmers, the American farmer, as we go through this pandemic?
Well, since I get a report on the price of corn and soybeans every day from my ag person, and I see at New Hartford and Shell Rock, where we market, corn at $2.98 or sometimes is $3.10, where I don't think it's been down there except during harvest season, and maybe not even harvest season for 3 or 4 years, it tells me that two things. One, the pandemic is having some impact on all natural resources. You see what it's doing to the price of oil, all of that, and that's going to create some unemployment in the United States. But also, what it says about just the condition of agriculture, and hopefully we get through this pandemic, then those prices will go back up to the last we sold corn was $3.70 as an example. But I made a speech yesterday for 1 minute about National Ag Day, and I spoke about people need to understand that food grows on farms and not in supermarkets. I said 2% of the people in this country do the other for the other 98%, and we ought to honor the family farmers, and I said the 88,000 family farmers we have in Iowa. In addition to that, I would say that there is, this goes back to the first question I had, there is some help for agriculture in here. For the first time, there's going to be a possibility of helping farmers like we did corn and soybeans because of the China tariffs, some of that same help to livestock farmers, and then there's going to be increased borrowing authority for the Commodity Credit Corporation where these help last year came because of China tariffs. I think in the neighborhood of about $25 billion increase in borrowing authority, and I think $10 billion maybe just for livestock. Okay, I guess that's it. So I'll say goodbye to you and make sure you wash your hands and use disinfectant on your hands.
Thank you, Senator.
All right, thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Ed and Dale, for participating in today's Public Affairs Program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.